This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Put your hands together for old men in sweat. Old men in sweat. Put your hands together, y'all. Barry D and Tommy T. We gonna have a good time tonight. Let's go. It's old men in sweat.
Old men in sweats. I'm Barry D, and this is my buddy Tommy T, and this is our program brought to you by the Believe Network. All right, Tommy T, so let's get right into it. Let's get right into the sweaty hit list. I got your topics here that you sent me. You've been thinking about I see.
So Chris Paul traded again. He traded from the Phoenix Suns to the Washington Wizards. They got Bradley Beal. Phoenix got Bradley Beal, which is a great, right? And then the Wizards immediately traded him to Golden State. I don't get this. Golden State now has 38-year-old Chris Paul, 35-year-old Steph Curry. They got Draymond Green, who's 33 years old. Klay Thompson's 32 years old. I mean, they got... If they re-sign Draymond, their payroll with the luxury tax and all the penalties is going to be something like $276 million. Even though Draymond only makes $30 million, there's all these taxes that sends their payroll to different tax brackets. They get taxed like Draymond's salary ends up being 3-for-1. It's crazy. So they got Chris Paul there, and they traded Jordan Poole. They traded one of their young guys. He basically crashed burn against the Lakers. Remember that playoff series against the Lakers? He disappeared.
The guy.
Yeah. So they sent him to the Wizards. Maybe he gets a chance to revitalize his career. And now Golden State gets Chris Paul. I don't get Chris Paul. Like, I've never thought that Chris Paul is some elite player. He's been, they call him the point god, right?
Yeah. PG3.
I've never gotten him. I've always thought that he was a solid player, good player, but I never thought that he was like some great player that you signed for $280 million, $45 million a year. I never got it. He's never done anything anywhere he's gone, like ever.
He's been in the league. So do you think they had intentions when Paul George went to the Wizards in the initial trade, right? When he went to the Wizards, right? And Beal came over. Do you think the Golden State Warriors were like, okay, now we're going to make our move to get him?
Yeah, I think that was in the works for a long time. He was never going to stay with the Wizards. They were just going to bounce him right out. So I think that they had that set up. I think the Wizards knew they were going to get Jordan Poole when they traded Bradley Beal. And I understand the Wizards getting a chance on Jordan Poole. He's a young guy. A couple of years ago, he looked like he was a rising star. Then he fell flat in his face this year. The year started out with him getting punched in the face by Draymond during the preseason. Remember, Draymond punched him in the face in some kind of confrontation, and then Draymond got suspended. Now, that's how his year started out, and then it ended with him like disappearing against the Lakers. So he couldn't have had a worse year, right, with Golden State. So now he goes to the Wizards to get a fresh start. The Wizards traded Porzingis to the Celtics. They traded Bradley Beal, so they're getting rid of everyone. They traded Hoochmama to the Lakers during the regular season, right?
Yep.
Rui Hoochimama, right? And so now the Wizards are starting over, but the Golden State Warriors, they have Chris Paul. I get that one. I don't see how.
So you think, is it because they're going to keep Poole or Draymond, and they've decided to keep Draymond, so they dump Poole and get Chris Paul?
But they haven't kept Draymond yet. Like, that's still up in the air.
Like, but you think that's what they're – it seems like that's the only reason they would do that. Like, I don't get it either. Like, why do you want Chris Paul – how old is he? 30 what? 8?
38.
Why do you want him, point guard? Steph Curry's the point guard. So what's Paul supposed to do? Just come in to sub for Steph?
He's going to free up Steph off the ball. He's going to get more shots for Steph and Clay. But, I mean, look, he's 38 years old, but hamstrings are 68 years old. He's got 68-year-old hands. He cannot finish a series. He's always out. or his groin, or I mean, come on, like the past year he's playing against Denver, and all of a sudden he limps off court. Oh, there goes Chris Paul again, bad groin, bad hamstring. He's got the oldest muscle I've ever seen. He's always out.
No, that's a good point. Like, so I get what you're saying. Like, it's if he's going to come in to distribute it, and he's going to get those guys more shots, and that helps Steph too. You know, as Steph gets older too, he's got more wear and tear when he's got to bring up the ball and actually, you know, make things happen. But Paul can't stay on the court more than what, 17 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, worse than that, in the late in the season, he can't do anything. Like, it's just, I don't get it. Like, but then again, like, not the guy to judge Chris Paul, because I never thought he was great even when he was at the top of his game. Even when he was, like, you know, perennial all-star, MVP candidate.
Really?
When he was with Clippers, I always said, okay, like, he's good, but I what is he? He's not Kobe Bryant. He's not like MJ. He's not LeBron. Get out of here with this. I never bought into Chris Paul ever. I always thought he was a good player.
When David Stern, you know, kiboshed that trade when Chris Paul was going to come from the Pelicans over to play with Kobe, you'd even like him then?
Well, no, I thought he was good then. I thought he would have helped that team. I don't know what ended up happening because they didn't get Chris Paul. Well, that was when they traded Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom, and that trade got nullified.
Yeah, then, David Stern.
Yeah, and Lamar went off the deep end.
Yep.
Yeah, right, you know, but yeah, that team was done anyway. That team was done. Oh, they were going to put Chris Paul together with Kobe and Dwight Howard. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And that would have been a good team. That would have been a very good team. Yeah, I don't know what that team would have done.
What do you think about that thing that David Stern did? How the heck? I mean, the NBA was controlling that team, right? Because they were going through ownership changes. That doesn't seem fair.
That happened way back in 2012, I think. David Stern didn't do that. What happened was that team didn't have an owner at the time. So they were finding an owner for that team. So the league was running that team. And what happened was the general manager, who was still in place, made that trade legitimately. The general manager didn't have to run that trade up to the owner. There was no owner there. So the general manager made the trade with Lakers. That's when, you know, the Lakers had what's the general manager they had for years? The tall Mitch Kupchak. Mitch Kupchak, right? So Mitch Kupchak made that trade with the general manager in New Orleans. There was no owner, so they didn't get approval. So they went ahead and made the trade. They announced the trade. And then what happened was, the other owners, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they wrote to David Stern and said, this is fair. Why are the Lakers getting all the players? So the other owners complained and David Stern had to step in. So really that guy, Dan Gilbert, put the kibosh to that trade, not David Stern. Because David Stern works for the owners. Or no, Adam Silver. They work for the owners.
That would have been a good trade. That would have been a good trade. That's a bunch of whining. Could you imagine nowadays whining like that? It happens all the time. I mean, it's like guys put super teams together all the time. So I like Chris Paul. Let me just say this. I like him. I always wanted him to be on the Lakers. I know he's older, but I still like it because it just seems when he can play, and I know you got to get the most out of a guy, but when he can play, he doesn't make too many mistakes. He's in control. He gets his guys involved. I love how he goes to the junction. He's got a great jump shot at the junction there. He's like automatic there. Like compared to the Lakers, because that's our team, compared to the Lakers and Russell and Schroeder and these other guys, he's better. To me, he's better than those guys. Russell, if Chris Paul's on the court, he'll play better in clutch time than Russell. Russell, he just disappears, even though he could play a lot more minutes.
Schroeder sucks.
And Schroeder's okay, but
Schroeder's a good backup. Schroeder would be a good backup for Chris Paul, but Russell is not even in the same category as Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a good player. Don't get me wrong; he's a good player. I've never considered him one of the elite players in the league. I always thought he was just a good player. A solid player.
So really, you never thought – I always thought he was elite. I always thought that guy could play, and I was bummed out when the Warriors took him because I thought the Lakers were going to try to make a move for him. And I was like, what are we doing? Like they didn't even make a move, so now
– we don't need him. You crazy.
Why not?
Oh, come on. He's 38 years old. He's got 50-year-old legs. We don't need him.
So you think that trade – you think Washington was just dumping guys anyway, and they got rid of Zynga, and they were just dumping guys. But you think that Beal to the Suns was a pretty good take, huh? It was good in that trade, and then Paul leaves.
Yeah, I mean, Beal's good. You know, I don't know how Beal fits in with Devin Booker and with Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant's
another player. Kevin Durant is – he's older now. He's not – he's like LeBron. Like, he's a good player. He's an excellent player, but he's not dominant anymore. Like, you could beat Kevin Durant and you could beat LeBron. They're old now. And when you're old in the NBA, who you are, when you're old, you come down. Kevin Durant's come down a couple notches. Devin Booker's a great player. Bradley Beal's an excellent player. So that could work, but they're going to get rid of their center. They don't want that guy.
I like him.
Yeah, he's.
You don't like that guy, huh?
Good. No, he's set. Listen, he's 7 feet tall, and he plays like he's 6'2". Like he plays like a little. He plays like a little guy.
He's kind of weird in his movements too. He looks like he's like a giraffe. Out there, and it looks like he's going to fall down or something. But I think I don't like Beal. I don't think that was great. I think Beal's overrated, and not that he's better. I'm not saying Chris Paul is an equal thing with Beal because Chris Paul is older. But I don't know how that's going to work in Phoenix. Like
Beal's never been on a good team, so this is the first time that we're actually going to see Beal, you know, have firepower with him. You know, so this could be interesting. You know, we could see.
So what you're saying is he won't have to be the man anymore, putting the ball in the hole all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Devin Booker's going to get the majority of the attention on that team. Devin Booker's their best player. Kevin Durant's still a very good player. And, you know, and then you got Beal. And then you got, I don't know what happens with Ayton. If you bring Ayton back, then you're going to have, like, you know, we're going to have four starters right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that might be good.
All right, well, we'll see. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it is – we'll see how it works out. Chris Paul is going to have to stay healthy. I don't think he will enough that it's going to be a big deal for the Warriors. And I don't know if giving up Poole was really the right move because I know he disappeared in the playoffs, but the guy's still legit. He had a bad playoffs, but – I think the guy still maybe I know it's weird, though, because you watch that guy and you think he's going to be fantastic and everybody talks great about him and he plays really well. But then there's times he's erratic and he makes weird mistakes and he just weird things happen and he's just chucking it and he's doing like weird things. And it's like, what's wrong with this guy? Like sometimes you're wondering, like, where's his head at when he's on the court sometimes? It's like weird. So, you know, now he's gone. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you think, all right, before we go to the next one, just one thing I want to ask you. Is that dog coming in? Get that dog in there. Bring that dog right in there. Bring that dog right in. He wants to come see you. Hey. That's why he's barking at you.
Crazy guy.
There he is. Where is he? Where is he?
He's good. He's over there.
He came in, right? See, I knew it.
He's crazy. Come here. You're
funny. He doesn't want to be...
You're a funny
guy. Yeah, he wants to be with you. He likes being with you. So one last thing before we leave this Chris Paul, Phoenix Suns, segue Washington, you know, Wizards and Laker thing. Do you think they didn't improve the Warriors?
No, I don't. Not at all. I mean, they got smaller. Like, you know,
They got smaller and older. Like every old person, you shrink, right? You shrink when you get older.
Yeah.
So they got older and they got smaller. That's a good way to put it. All right, so let's go to the big shot here. I just say Wemba. So yeah, Wemba,
you can't say
Wemba.
That's a Wemba mania, right?
Wemba mania in San Antonio.
Yeah. I watched him. He was in San Antonio. He was on the court and he was just shooting around and he was dribbling the ball behind his back and he was just shooting nice and easy.
And he was missing.
Hey, he's like, listen, the guy's 7'4". They say he's going to grow to 7'5". And I mean, I swear this is going to sound crazy, but he's too tall. That's not going to work. I mean, I look at him. It's not going to work. I feel bad for the kid, but you know, we had Shaq in 1991 or whatever he was drafted. We had Kareem in like the late 60s was drafted. But what seven-footer gets drafted in the NBA and plays? Like the, none of them. Ralph Sampson was no good. Akeem Olajuwon was only 6'9", 6'10", right? Ralph Sampson was 7'4". Sam Bowie, no good. Greg Oden, no good. Like so Wembanyama, is he going to be the next Tim Duncan or is he going to be the next Greg Oden?
All right, so let me ask you this. How tall was Sampson? 4'7"? 7'4". So what you're saying is, I get what you're saying. There's a cap as a big guy. When you get above, like when you get around 7'3 or 7'4, it could be tough. Like, yeah, how big was my new Bull? How big was Bull?
7'6. Yeah.
And how about George Marison?
7'7.
7'7.
Yeah.
And they weren't no good.
Porzingis is 7'3, and he's always hurt. Like it's just like he's. I look at Wembanyama just playing on the court by himself, and he's smooth and everything. You know, and I watched him in those games in Europe. You know, he played for that team Paris in the French league, and he's good. He's really good. Offensively, he's silky smooth. He's got all the moves, all the shots. He takes it to the rim, dunks. I mean, does everything. But he's going to be in the NBA now, and they're going to bang him. They're going to hit him. They're going to undercut him. I mean, they're going to do everything to this guy. I mean, he's so skinny. And so tall, when you look at him, you're like, I don't know how it's going to work.
I agree with you. I think there's a limit of his size. Like, Shaq was tall, but Shaq wasn't as tall as him. And Shaq was big. That's the thing. Big, Shaq was big. Will Chamberlain was big.
Yeah.
Bill Russell was big. You know, even going back, George Mikan, back in that day, he was big for back in that day. He had some girth. Like, you got to have girth. And I don't and Duncan isn't a good comparison because Duncan, the big fundamental is way more.
Yeah, he was more 6'11" anyway. He was in.
And he's just a stronger game overall than Wemba. No matter what, I don't care if people think I'm BSing there because it's like he hasn't played really in the NBA yet. But I just don't see that at that height. Like I know he shows that skill set a little bit. But then to perform it on an NBA court night in and night out like Duncan did all those years, I don't know if he can do it like that. So he's not going to be a 7'3" or 4" Tim Duncan.
Mm-mm. No. Well, the other thing is, you know, when the guys come along like a couple years ago, Zion came along and he was like a generational talent too, right? And you know, like, so now it's Wembanyama. Not every year. We don't have these guys every year. A mayor, there's number one picks. We don't even know who they are. I think Kate Cunningham was number one pick a couple years ago. Or
who the heck's that?
He's a guy for Detroit Pistons. Who was the number one pick last year? I forget even. Who was the number one pick last year? Like, you know, but.
Oh, the guy, the Gonzaga guy, right?
The Gonzaga guy.
That got hurt.
Yeah, he was number two.
Oh,
he was number two. Number one was Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero
from
Duke. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he on Orlando?
Well, the Gonzaga guy, Chet Holmgren, he's 7'2. He's 7'2. He got hurt preseason.
He's another one.
Yeah.
And he was skinny. Like skinny little legs.
So,
like little legs like a horse. Like their bottom of their legs, their whole leg is like a bottom of the horse. When it's thin, like you watch a horse and you're like, their upper leg, right? The quads and the hands are like, they're big. And you look at the little thing that goes down to their foot and you're like, how the hell is that going to hold that leg? But these guys, their whole leg is that little size.
Even the quad is little.
Even the quad is like him.
They don't have quads. They got a bi. They have a bi up there. They even have quads for muscles. Those guys just got a bicep up there. They got
a bicep attached for the quad. But I completely agree with you. Like, everybody's drooling over this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he played in France. Okay, and I know there's good pro players in Europe. But I don't know. In France, like a bunch of bakers. Like, these guys, guys that go, they bake bread in the morning, then they go play on the freaking team.
The players are all smoking cigarettes on the bench. Smoking.
Exactly.
He's playing, this guy's smoking.
Yeah, it's like smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, drinking wine all the time, baguettes, eating baguettes and croissants and shit. Come on.
So anyway, the NBA does all the time. They always go overboard. Okay, so we got this kid. He's good. Like, I mean, I hope he doesn't get injured. And then a couple years ago when they got Zion, I said, that guy's too fat. Like, he's not really fat, but for an NBA player, he's too big. He's too big. He's too heavy. And he jumps and he always, like, wrecks his foot or his knee, or he's always out. He's played, like, he's played 20 games last year.
The NBA, it's ridiculous.
They always get carried away with these young superstars. Like, I always say, wait till they actually become a superstar. Like, wait till they become great.
Yes.
And then go, oh, my God, this guy Zion, he's so good. He's third in the league. He's done this.
But no, yes.
They talk about the guy so much before he even starts. You know, and all these
the hype.
Talk about, hey, get out of here. Let me see Wembanyama. I say to my father all the time, every time there's a phenom that comes up, I always say, let me see him first. Let me watch him play first.
Yeah.
Before he's a phenom. You know, so Wembanyama has game. Like, he's good. There's no doubt he's good. But in terms of the NBA, who knows? He takes that court, you know, in October next year. Who knows what's going to happen? You don't know he's going to be anything. He could be the regular guy. He could be Sean Bradley from BYU. Remember Sean Bradley?
Yeah, he could be Sean Bradley.
He was a great interview. Remember what a great interview he was when we were doing Ahmad Rashad and everything? He loved
the
impersonation. He was a great interview. I like Sean Bradley.
I completely agree with you. I think there's a thing about over 7'2", like when you get to 7'4", let's say 7'4", and you're little and you're skinny, because I don't know if you can put on muscle, and I think the wear and tear of the NBA game and all these guys, big guys beating the crap out of you, it's different. So far we went through Bradley, George Marison, Manute Bol, Ralph Sampson, Greg Oden.
Recently, Kristaps Porzingis, last year Chet Holmgren, right? I mean, these guys, they all the same. They never play.
I hope the guy does well, Wemba does well, because I think he was a nice guy. Like, I watching his interview.
Yeah, I like him. He's good.
The guy can talk. The guy has got respect for the game. He's got respect for the Spurs. He goes to dinner with him. He talks all nice stuff. But I still think it was funny when he did it, that little shoot around the first time he had his uniform on. He was missing everything.
Yeah.
He was missing.
But he's going to be a good shooter.
He was missing. The best thing they could do, it's the opposite of the Pelicans, of Zion. It's the opposite of him. They should have handcuffed him at home and not let him go to any of the Cajun restaurants and all the buffets and stuff. They should have just had that guy. They should have had someone watch that guy at home, put him on a diet, and that should have been it. This guy is going to be the opposite. Wemba, they got to fatten him up. So you take him to all those Mexican restaurants in San Antonio. You can fajitas.
What they should have done with Wembanyama is they should have put him with Zion, and they should have said, listen, just take all his food. The Pelicans should have hired Wemba and said, listen, just take all of Zion's food. Whatever Zion has, this play, you eat it. And it would have worked out for both of them.
Yeah, because he's got to put the weight on. Zion, you're done. He's eating his way right out of the NBA. He's eating his way out of the NBA. I don't even know how you do that.
Remember John Hot Plate Williams?
Hot Plate Williams. God. Yeah. That's a blast from the past. Yes. John Hot Plate Williams.
He went to Crenshaw High. He went to LSU and he got drafted by
Clippers. Crenshaw.
Hot Plate Williams. Yep. He would have been a star if he didn't gain weight.
But so Wemba will not have the problem of that. But he's going to have to put the weight on anyway. So he's not going to have the problem that he's got to have a diet. But we'll see. The jury's still out. We just named a bunch of guys, and a lot of people say, yep, those guys had no game. This guy's got game. Well, we'll see. We still don't know. But you got to take the 7'4 guy
who looks good. They had to take him. Yeah.
All right. Next thing, let's change a little thing here. Let's go to NFL. Yeah. I can't believe you wrote this down. I got all excited. You wrote down Dalvin Cook, the chef, my guy, my ex-Viking, and Hopkins, free agents. And they're trying to team up together. They want to be on the same team.
Yeah, well, is it going to work? They're not going to be on the same team. team because they both want a lot of money, right? And they should. They both should get. But I think the big story here is, why did the Vikings cut Dalvin Cook? I mean, in 1,100 yards 4 years in a row. So that tells me that as good as he's been for the Vikings, there's something that's he's not dynamic enough. They would have never let him go.
I mean, you're right.
I know they got Alexander Mattison waiting behind him, but this guy was truly one of the best running backs in the NFL. They wouldn't have let him go. They would have worked out his contract, and they would have offered him something, but they didn't even work with the guy. They didn't want him. And D. Hopkins, he was in a terrible situation with the Cardinals. That team was going nowhere. They got Mr. Kazoo was the quarterback, the guy with a big head. He's not going and doing nothing, right? And Kyler Murray, right? What do you got there? Yep. Rap chips.
It's this new snack. It's from Miami, Florida, and it's Rap Snacks.
Rap Snacks.
And this one is sour cream and ranch mingles. And it's, I don't even know who the rappers are, but they got this one. They got a spicy one. They got another one. I got to do some more research on it, but it's hilarious. It's like these rap guys on the cover called Rap Snacks. And they got these little funny pictures of them. And the chips aren't bad though. Like this is sour cream and ranch. And it's pretty good.
You're eating. Okay. Rap chips. Okay. That's good.
Rap snacks. That's rap good. Snacks. That's good. Yeah, rap snack chips. All right. So wait a minute. So you don't think, I'm going to tell you why the Vikings got rid of him. He's good. One of the best backs in the NFL. But the Vikings have Madison. When Madison would come in for him, he would do just as well. Madison can catch the ball. He's a bruiser. He's more of a three-down back. You can keep him in every down. Okay. But I think the Vikings are going to start doing more of that horizontal run across the line. Like use Jefferson and use Addison, their new guy from USC. And I think they're just going to open it up a little more, and they're figuring like they didn't need him anymore. And I think there's secret weapons that no one knows about right now. They've got that one kid from North Carolina. I think this is his second year now. Okay. He was a top running back in the country. You know who I'm talking about. He catches the ball. He's fast as lightning. Yeah. I can't remember the kid's name. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
he went to North Carolina. This is his second year. He was unbelievable in North Carolina. And he's fast. He can catch it, and he can run. And I think they're going to use him a lot more. Like, I think he's sneaking up. You know, these guys, it takes a couple years. And I think they figured with Madison and him, and then they ended up picking up a guy from UAB. I think it was from UAB, this running back, who had the most yards, rushing yards in NCAA last year. But he was on UAB. I think it was UAB. And they picked him up, too, in the draft, like the last round or something. And they say this guy's, like, dynamic, too. So I just think they don't want to pay.
Well, the other guy is Ty Chandler.
That's him.
Ty Chandler.
He's good.
North Carolina.
Good.
Yeah.
What's his 40-yard dash? It's probably 4.3.
Yeah, no, he's really good. He's very fast.
And, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's good. And then they also – they got – seven. Well, their draft choice, I know they came from UAB. His name was McBride. His name was like Dwayne McBride.
Yeah, seventh round.
Yeah. Yeah, he led was he from UAB or was he from Tulane or one of those?
No, UAB. UAB, he led the NCAA in yards rush, didn't he?
Yeah, Dwayne McBride, UAB. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Dwayne McBride. The Vikings drafted him. He had 1,700 yards and 19 touchdowns.
Yep.
And he's 21 years old. Yeah, that got him in the seventh round, 5'11". I see. So the Vikings are going to go young at that position. I got it. That's good.
Yeah, they're going to go Madison, the bruiser, three downs. Yeah. The thing with Dalvin Cook always was he was always out of the game on third down most of the time. I never understood it. I never understood it because even on a passing down, they would take him out. And I'm like, don't you want him in? Because they have to address that he's in the game. And they would take him out. And I never understood why. There must have been a reason. And so now I think that, you know, you can have Madison in their three downs. He's a bruiser. Their offensive line, believe it or not, is probably top 10 now. I mean, they've got it. Yeah. Their offensive line has been worked on. They've got Jefferson. They got Addison. They got KJ Osborne. They got three good receivers. They got TJ, the tight end. And I think this he's awesome. And I think this running back thing is going to be – they're going to use Chandler and then McBride guy a lot. And I think they just figured, like, you know, Cook wanted what? They were going to have to pay him like $15 million or
something. Yeah, no, yeah, it was all money related. Yeah, he's like the Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys. There's too much money. Like, they got to go. Like,
so you don't think that they're, you don't think the Dolphins, there's rumors the Dolphins or Jets want Cook or Patriots?
Yeah.
Do you think any, no?
I mean, they both want $10 million a year. Nobody's got $20 million laying around in June, July to give. Yeah. Give two guys no. First of all, the Dolphins don't really need him. I mean, they could use a running back, but I mean, no, the guy's going to get picked up. I'm thinking the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers are going to sneak in on one of these guys. The Panthers are going to sneak in on
really.
The Cleveland Browns are going to sneak in on Hopkins, right, for Deshaun Watson. And I like the Jets for Cook. They don't need him, but I like the Jets for Cook. And then there's a couple sleeper teams for Cook. You know, might sneak in and grab Cook. A team you never think of, the Chiefs. The Chiefs might go in and grab him. They could use
really?
Him.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think Miami. Miami, no way Miami. No way Patriots.
Yeah, those teams, they're talked about right now. They're in the lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they got a good chance, yeah.
Well, what you're saying is this combination fantasy that Hopkins and Cook were putting out there in the media, like you could get both of us. Let's do a package.
They always do that. No way. They're not getting both of them. No way.
So don't you think Baltimore Ravens are probably bummed out that if they didn't take Beckham, they could have went and tried to get Hopkins?
No, because they knew that Hopkins was going to come available. That's,
so why didn't they just go for him? Because I think Beckham's done. I don't get it. Like that he's I don't understand that everybody's talking about how great he is. He hasn't even done anything in years.
See, Beckham is your Chris Paul, right?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. You're like me. I don't get it.
It's like they bring him in and people are talking about the best tight end wide receiver duos in the NFL. And they put him in that what's his name, which I like their tight end. I can't remember his name.
Mark Andrews.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe they put like him and Jefferson and TJ and Samuel and Kittle. And I'm like, no, there's no way that Odell Beckham is in this mix. I can't remember the other combinations, but I was like, it stuck out like a sore thumb. I'm like, this guy, when's the last time he played? 21? 2020?
2 years ago in the Super Bowl. He didn't play last year. He played the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Yeah. So okay. he missed a year, a whole year.
And then he tore the ACL?
In the Super Bowl, yeah. Second time.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. And so he hasn't done nothing since then but be an Instagram poster. It's like an Instagram model. Yeah, he got
kicked off an airplane in LA for he was being a Karen on the airplane.
Yeah. So what's a Karen? What's a Karen in a guy is what? Like a Bob?
Kevin.
Kevin?
I think it's Karen and Kevin. Yeah.
So I just the Ravens, it just was hilarious because I remember when they got him and they solved their wide receiver problems. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't even know if this guy can finish one game yet.
Yeah, you don't get Chris Paul. You don't get D-Hop.
No, I get Chris Paul. D-Hop, I don't get him at all.
I mean Beckham. You don't get Beckham.
I don't get Beckham at all. Yeah,
I know.
Hopkins, I get Hopkins. I like Hopkins. I like that guy. He's a freak. He looks like an alien. And I think he's just freaky talent. And I understand why Arizona got rid of him because, you know, the big bobblehead is not even going to play this year. So Murray's, you know, new coach. Murray's out this year because he's hurt. So they probably were like, we don't need to pay him for nothing. If we pay Hopkins, he's not going to even get the ball this year.
Yeah.
Like, why are we even bothering with it, right?
I hear you. Yeah.
So, but I think Cook will get picked up. I think Hopkins will probably get picked up. But what do you think the chances? Let's finish this up. What's the chances percentage-wise they get picked up together?
I think that's slim. Slim to none.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I don't think so, buddy.
I think they were just talking. Okay, let's move on to a little baseball here. Let's talk about Aaron Judge's big toe.
Yeah. So like three or four weeks, they were out here at Dodger Stadium, and he went to catch a ball, and he ran through the fence. He broke the fence.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I guess the underneath the fence there's a concrete like platform, right? And he smashed his big toe into the concrete slab underneath the fence. And I guess he tore a ligament in his toe. And now they're saying that he might not come back this year because he can't push off that toe because it's his back foot.
Oh, no.
So he's out. He's out now 3-4 weeks, and his toe's not getting any better. He's got like a torn ligament.
Oh.
You hurt your big toe. You think, oh, it's no big deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal, man. Big toe. You try to run, stop, swing, throw with a bad big toe. It's almost impossible, you know?
He's been out since the beginning of June.
Judge's big toe's got to be like this freaking big. Ooh, it's got huge.
It's like a leg.
Yeah, it's like a foot. His big toe's like a foot.
It's like a foot. It's like a hoof. It's like a hoof. Yeah. It's like a hoof. It is like a hoof. So he's been out since the beginning of June, first week of June.
Yeah, when they came out to LA, you know, they won that series 2-1, but he bashed his toe and they lost him. He hasn't played since.
So you think, and is there any timetable? Are they talking?
Well, there was a timetable, but now they said there's no timetable. It's just how he feels. And right now he's saying that he can't push off because it's his right foot. You know, so when he's hitting, he's pushing off that right foot, and he can't push off.
Yeah, right? So forget it.
Yeah, so it's really
bad. So batting, like you know, I mean, you could put him at first base, but he's got a bat. If he can't bat, it doesn't matter.
He can't play first base.
Why not?
Because he never has. You don't just
can learn how to do that.
Yeah, sure. You just learn it.
His right foot would be on the bag, so his left leg would be in front. But I'm just saying it doesn't matter anyway. You're not going to do that, even if he could, which I know it's ridiculous what I'm suggesting. But he wouldn't be able to bat, and that's the key. I mean, because he can't push off the thing anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the problem right now. That's where he's having problems.
All right, so you think they're done? If he doesn't come back, it's over.
No, because they're no one else is hitting on the team. Stanton's hitting 180. Gleyber Torres is hitting 230.
How do you hit 180? How do you hit 180 as a pro? And you've been seeing baseballs in front of you for your whole life.
You hit the broadside of a barn.
Wow. It's all psychological.
Yeah, it's all mental.
It's all mental because, come on, there's no way he should hit 180.
Yeah, he's a great hitter.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, you know? Yeah. So you're telling me if Judge, it's bad. It's not good. It's not good.
Really bad, yeah.
And they're downplaying it probably, and he's not coming back. And they're not gonna make the playoffs then.
Right now they're like 9 games behind the Tampa Rays, right? The Tampa Rays, they got a bunch of no names. They got like their payroll's $68 million. And they got biggest collection of chubby Mexicans on that team. I don't ever understand it. They got more chubby Latino guys that are great.
They love the chubby Latino guys. These guys they love those guys. They got like 4 or 5 of them.
They look like they're furniture delivery guys or something. There's these chubby guys, and they all hit and run.
Oh, my God. Furniture delivery guys.
Yeah, the guy delivered our big sofa, like a couple of chubby guys. Look like those guys.
But they're doing good, but they're real good.
Oh my God, good ain't the word. They're the best team in baseball.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so
the Yankees are 9 back, and then they're like 5 back on the wild card.
Yeah, they might get a wild card.
No, because the Orioles are gonna get the wild card and
and the Astros and the Angels are all
Astros, Angels. Yeah.
So
without Judge, they're done. But the Orioles are another team, you know, not a big payroll. They're in second place behind the Rays.
The only reason they don't have a big payroll is because they got a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
You know, so they're lucky because it takes like 5 or 6 years before they become a region in the Major League Baseball. So that's why they don't have a big payroll. They got a bunch of guys 1, 2, 3 years in the league.
Yeah.
So they're going to pay for a few more years,
and they got to do it now because once those guys have to get paid, Angelo doesn't pay anybody, and that's when or they pay the wrong guy, like they paid Chris Davis, and then all of a sudden he couldn't see the balls anymore coming to the plate. They paid him $150 million. The guy couldn't see the ball anymore.
He hit like 56 home runs 1 year, and then the next year, hitting like 130.
I mean, I'm sorry, it's like he became Stevie Wonder overnight. It's like, what's going on here? You can't see the ball no more. You're hitting home runs like left and right. You're a monster out here. Well, and then all of a sudden you signed that contract and you went blind.
He's out of baseball. Who gets his money? Okay. That bell.
Okay, last one.
The last one is
Ohtani.
This guy, Shohei. He's ridiculous. I was watching the game last night, and the ticker's going across, and they're showing the league leaders. He's like second in the American League in strikeouts as a pitcher, and he's first in home runs. And you don't realize it. I'm just sitting there, right? I'm just chilling on the couch. I'm watching the tickers going by, the league leaders, and I see Ohtani, 127 strikeouts, number two. And it scrolls by. And then later on, a couple months later, home run leaders in the American League. So Ohtani, 25, it scrolls by. And then it hits me. It just hits me. The guy's striking out everyone on the mound, hitting home runs. No one since 1920, since 1915 has done that. Listen, Barry, no one's done this in 100 years. Like over 100 years. That's crazy. The only other guy that was as dominant a pitcher and hitter was Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth is like a mythical figure. I mean, Ohtani is ridiculously good. You know how we talk about Wembanyama? Remember we talked about Wemby with the San Antonio hype? This is the opposite of hype. And for the last 2-3 years, he's like one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's unhittable almost.
Yeah.
And he's like best in baseball. How is that? I don't even know how that's possible. There's no one that's ever come near this guy.
It is weird because, like, you know, he's in California. He's not with the Dodgers. He's still with the Angels. You know, you think he'd get talked about more. Like, I know he gets talked about, but it's almost like he gets forgotten. But he's a
baseball.
Freak.
So it's baseball. They don't cover it on Get Up Morning. They don't cover it on.
That's a good point.
They don't cover it on Fox Sports. I mean, it's baseball. And so the only time you talk about it is if just like, you know, like a smoke like me brings it up. Says, hey, you know, number two in strikeout and one in home runs. He's ridiculous. There's no one like him. There's no one even close. It's been over 100 years. I'm going to say it again, 100 years. Who's been leading the league in home runs and leading the league in strikeouts since Babe Ruth?
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's like so, and he's gonna leave the Angels after this year, right?
Yeah, he's gonna go on the he's gonna go to the Dodgers or the Mets for like $450 million.
Oh my God!
Yeah, $450 million.
Are
you
serious? Yeah. Where do you think it would be better for him to go? Does it even matter? What happened? Is the dog okay there?
This dog's you let the
you did you let him out? That dog's mad at you today.
No, he's yelling at the pool lady or the landscaper. You know, he's crazy.
Well, he's doing his territory. So let me ask you, does it even matter where he goes, the Mets or the Dodgers? It really doesn't matter. He just makes them unbelievably better. So
better, yeah. No, either team, you know. I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's going to pitch every 5 days, and he's going to hit home runs.
You know what he's like? It's the weirdest thing in the world, but the only thing I can compare it to, and it's not a good comparison, but it is. It's not a good comparison, like, talent-wise or quality-wise, but the only way I can compare it or make sense of it is when you're in high school and you're on varsity baseball, right, usually the best guy pitches and hits home runs.
Well, yeah.
He's a good hitter. He's a pitcher. But that kind of dissolves, like, after that. Like, in college, it stays in college, I guess, you know, a bit. But this is so freaky that in Major League Baseball that he's, like, so unbelievably a great hitter and a power hitter and an unbelievable pitcher. Like, that, to me, only really exists back in the glory days of, like high school and somewhat college.
No, that's exactly what he is. He's like a high school player in the major leages.
It's crazy, though, if you think about it. He's like
everyone else, like they're in the little league.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. And so can he win the Triple Crown and the Cy Young?
Well, he's not going to win the Triple Crown because the Triple Crown, you got to lead the league in batting average. He doesn't do that. So.
What's his, he does, his average, is it close? Is that close?
No, he's not a 300 hitter. He's up there. He's like 280, 290. He's up there, yes. You know? But No, he could win the Cy Young. I don't think he's leading in the Cy Young, but he could win the Cy Young, and he could lead the league in home runs. He could do that for sure. Like, he's got a chance now.
What about Ribbies? No?
Well, he's high in Ribbies, but he's not gonna be because the team's not good enough. He doesn't get enough Ribby opportunities. You know,
how they find this guy? It's like finding Joker. Like, how do you find this guy? Like, how do you find him?
They knew that he was a pitcher and hitter when they went and got him in Japan, where everyone knew about him. But he was Wembanyama. Like, you didn't know if it was good or not. You thought it was all hype or all bullshit, right? You know, but until you
– Yeah.
He's, like, been here, like, 3 or 4 years now. There's nothing – there's no hype about this guy. He's not hype. He's all the real deal. He's crazy.
It's just
crazy.
It's crazy. He must be like a mythical figure in Japan.
Right now, he is like a mythical figure, but right now he's Aaron Judge up the plate. Like, he's just like Aaron Judge. He's
okay.
And when he's pitching, he's like Justin Verlander. Like, he's two of the best players in the league.
It's so crazy. Yeah, when you say that, it's like, how can that even possibly be?
Don't think about it. I know he's great, but I'm telling you, I'm watching TV. I see the ticker scroll across, and I see number two in strikeouts, and then 2 months later, number one in home runs. And I was like, what the hell did I just see? Like, that's real. Like, he's really number two in strikeouts and then one in home runs. He's the best pitcher in baseball. He's the best hitter right now. He's crazy.
And good. The good thing is, if the Angels make a wild card, we'll get to see him more.
And he's a good guy. He's like, you know, everyone likes him. And here's the other thing. The World Baseball Classic, which was before the season started, where Japan won, like the Olympics, right? All the countries, like, you know, when it was down in Latin, it was in Puerto Rico or somewhere. I don't know where it was. It was in the Dominican Republic. So all those, you know, South American and Latin American had teams, and they're all like great teams, right? And the Americans had a good team. And so we come down, the Americans in Japan are playing for the championship. And it comes down to Shohei's on the mound and Mike Trout's at the plate.
Well, yeah,
and Shohei strikes him out to end the game. Like, that's what it came down to. Like, you could have, like, written it better. Like,
that was the best. Watching that was the best. It's, like, way better than watching MLB.
It was crazy good. Yeah, it was so exciting. It was
crazy good.
It was like watching World Cup soccer only for baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
It was really great. It helps baseball. Anything to help baseball, that obviously helps baseball a lot.
Listen, he threw like a 99-mile-an-hour fastball past Mike out for strike three. It's crazy.
And he bats left or right?
Yeah, he bats left and throws right.
And that's another thing that happens in high school. Because I remember when we were in high school and Andy Van Slyke was playing high school ball back in upstate. Andy Van Slyke was a god. As far as an athlete in upstate, and his father was a coach, and his father purposely taught him how to bat left and throw right.
Yeah.
On purpose. Like, I guess, cause you could play more positions then, right, in the outfield, and you're batting left. I mean, not in the outfield, in the field. And then you're batting left. So against righties, right.
Yeah.
And there's more righties than lefties.
Yeah.
I remember he even told me that story that, cause I asked him, I said, how did you develop that? Because it was odd, you know?
The other thing is Ted Williams, you know, wrote a book in the 40s and 50s. Ted Williams wrote a book on hitting. And Ted Williams threw right-handed, but he batted left. And Ted Williams claimed that if you're batting left-handed, your right hand is pulling the bat through. So your right hand is generating most of the power, but it's not your strong hand. So Ted Williams was right-handed, right? So he batted left because his right hand was a strong hand. Right hand's pulling the bat through, so he had his power hand, you know. So he always claimed that if you did that, you know, your opposite hand provides more power.
Interesting. Well, that guy would know. Well, I mean, just a little bit.
Phil Mickelson is right-handed, but he golfs left,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So look, those were good. Those are like a good hot, sweaty list. There was like five there. Different sports, we agreed on most of them, but then there were other ones.
We didn't agree on Chris Paul, and we didn't agree on a couple other things, but that's okay,
That's okay. So, you know what? That was good. Do you have any final sweaty thoughts of something weird that maybe has happened to you in the last couple of weeks or anything that sports-wise or just social media-wise?
The only thing is, like, you know, I've been getting MRIs, you know, like I'm the MRI king right now. I got the left knee feel like a donkey kicked me in the outside of my left knee, my MCL. Yeah. I got a bone bruise, but that's nothing. You know, like I with yoga today, feels okay, golf, do whatever, you know.
Oh, it's a bone bruise. You know it's a bone bruise.
Oh, it feels like, honestly, buddy, it feels like a horse kicked me. Like I was behind the horse and it just kicked me and it's bashed my left.
So do you have to do ice heat combo?
Well, no heat, just ice. When I get off the thing here, I'm gonna wrap it up with a big. My knee looks like I'm a pitcher's shoulder. I got a big ice thing wrapped around it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's what I have.
So then how long do they want you to do that for? A while.
Yeah. Well, I just the MRI. So now I gotta, you know, the doctor's gotta let me know what's up. You know, she's going to probably say, look, you need a new knee.
Okay, no, you're not doing that.
I'm not.
You're not putting no artificial knee in there.
No,
like,
I don't even need a knee.
You're not doing that. Yeah. No way. Older guys know that. You're not getting involved in that plastic metal.
No, you don't need that stuff.
Knee.
Just do you more need yoga. That. Yeah.
And more yoga. Yeah. More yoga and more drinking beer. So this was a good show. You know, I want to wrap it up here. It was a good show because, you know, this is one of those times of the year that to me, it's just the lull. It's the lull before the beer drinking, chicken wing eating fall football.
Yeah,
but this is it was a good show. We'll come back next week. We'll do another 5 hot topics of the sweaty hit list. So, Old Men of Sweats, Barry D and Tommy T. Thanks for watching, listening to us. Go follow us, you know, on social media, YouTube, all those channels. Subscribe to us, et cetera, and remember. We love to, you know, hear from you. You know, email us, call us on our phones if you want to. I'll put our phone numbers up next time. And just remember this, you know, we really do, you know, love doing this. But just remember, we won't try harder next time.
So don't ask.
So don't even ask. All right, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Right. Thank you, Sweaty. Stay sweaty, Las Vegas. All right, Tommy, go ice that thing.
I'll go ice the knee.
And go pet that dog. Go pet that dog. That guy,
he's going crazy.
He needs some pets now.
I got him. Don't worry, buddy.
All right. That's it. All right. Adios, buddy.
Hey, yo. Put your hands together for Old Men and Sweat.
Old Men and Sweat.
Put your hands together, y'all.
Barry B. Tommy T.
We're going to have a good time tonight.
Let's go.
It's Old Men and Sweat.